Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners in this country and round the world, and also to welcome to the show this week four exciting, delightful, talented, and very humorous individuals who are going to play Just a Minute. And they are seated on my right, Paul Merton and Giles Brandreth, and seated on my left, Julian Clary and David Mitchell. Please welcome all four of them. And as usual, I'm going to ask them to speak on a subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Beside me sits Sarah Sharp, who's going to help me with the score, blow the whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Radio Theatre in the heart of that magnificent building, Broadcasting House in Portland Place. It doesn't mean a thing to the audience because they're already here. And so let's begin the show. David Mitchell, would you begin the show for us this week? How to write a love letter. 60 seconds, starting now.
I'm the very worst person to give advice on how to write a love letter. I don't think I've ever really tried. I'm not a romantic man. My letters are functional to accountants, solicitors, full of business and self-absorption. But I expect a good way of writing a love letter would be to copy someone else's poetry. Someone good but not too well known. This is well available on the internet. You can put love in, and not just poetry will come up, but some will be.
Julian, Claire, are you challenged?
Was it a repetition of poetry?
That's what I'm saying. Yes. You repeat someone else's poetry. Yes.
But that is repetition in Just a Minute, so, Julian, you have a correct challenge, and you take over the subject of how to write a love letter. You have 30 seconds, and the time starts now.
What is essential when writing a love letter is to pour out your feelings from the heart directly onto the page. It's no good beating about the bush, if you'll pardon the expression. Honesty and sincerity and emotion is what the reader of the letter will be wanting to absorb, and possibly, once they've...
Oh, they wanted you to go on, Julian. Giles, you challenge.
Hesitation.
It was a hesitation, yes.
I was overcome with emotion.
I was quite moved myself.
Thank you.
And the audience were. They were very quiet. Mm. And 8 seconds, Giles. How to write a love letter, starting now.
How to write a love letter in the nude. Start as you mean to finish. Or at least as you hope that you might. Do it, people really...
So Giles Brandon is speaking then as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and Giles has 2 points at the end of the round. Julian has one. The others have yet to score. And Giles, would you begin the next round? The subject is my signature dish. 60 seconds, starting now.
When it comes to a signature dish, alphabet soup is really the only one that delivers. And in my case, G-Y-L-E-S. B-R-A-N-D, a couple of letters we may have heard before. T-H, beautifully created in pasta loops, can affect my signature. Dropped into a bouillon that has come lightly to the boil. This is the recipe given to me by Fanny Craddock, who, when she lived with Lionel...
Julian Clary challenged.
Hesitation, and the words seem to all get...
My mouth was full. Together. I mentioned the bouillon, the pasta. I was tasting as I went.
Yeah, that's...
So you think it was a hesitation where?
Well, the words seem to all get mixed up in his mouth and didn't make any sense.
Well, the trouble is, Julian, is he didn't actually hesitate.
Well, I'll call it deviation then, because it didn't make sense.
All right. It didn't make sense to you, so I'll give you the benefit of the doubt on this occasion and say you have 32 seconds on my signature dish, starting now.
My signature dish is a saveloy. People queue right round the block, their mouths watering, and I let them in one at a time for a little taste. People are quite understanding.
Paul, what is it?
Hesitation.
Hesitation, all right. You have the subject, 18 seconds. My signature dish, starting now.
My signature dish is rather wonderful. It's placing a bird inside another. First of all, you start with something as small as a quail, stuffed inside a pigeon. Then you move up, find a duck.
Julian Janet.
You couldn't stuff a quail inside a pigeon.
Of course you could.
Well, the quail's bigger than a pigeon.
Not...
Now, a baby quail would be smaller than a...
Yeah, but he didn't say baby quail.
Well, no, he didn't. I'm sorry if people were writing it down, but I should have been clearer.
No, I think it would be...
I didn't say the birds were actually dead. Did I not make that clear? It's very difficult to stuff a quail inside a pigeon when they're both flapping away.
Or even when they're dead, it would be difficult.
Exactly.
Julian, you have a correct challenge. 7 seconds.
What?
Paul, my...
This is a traditional recipe. Quail stuffed inside a pigeon.
We didn't want a traditional recipe, did we? We wanted your signature dish.
Yes, it's become such a tradition because I'm so good at it.
And you couldn't, to my mind, stuff a quail into a
pigeon. I know what I'd like to stuff a quail into.
Dead or alive, or even in just a minute if you were being in a fantasist. Right. I think Julian has the benefit of the doubt. My signature dish is back with you, Julian. 7 seconds, starting now.
An iced ring is my signature dish.
Giles Chalmers.
Hesitation.
Yeah.
Mm. I don't recall hesitating.
I'm so sorry, the mouth seemed full, there was hesitation, the whole caboodle.
Well, I'll tell you what I do. I did give him the benefit of the doubt against you, because he said your mouth was too full of words. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt now, so it's fair deals all round. My signature dish, Giles, is back with you, and it's 4 seconds starting now.
Chili con lobster is an extraordinary dish to create, but when I do it, people really...
So, Giles Brandon speaking then as Whistle Wen gained that extra point. He's new, and I've moved into the lead ahead of Julian Clary. And, Julian, we'd like you to begin the next round. What to do when you oversleep? 60 seconds, as usual, starting now.
What to do when you oversleep is totally ignore the fact that you're late. I used to breeze into school an hour and a half late, and the monks...
Paul Challenge. No, Giles Challenge.
A repetition of late?
Oh, yes.
Yes, you're correct.
Giles, you listened well. 52 seconds. What to do when you oversleep, starting now.
As the Book of Proverbs teaches us, a little sleep, a touch of slumber, the folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a vagabond and want as an armed man. Oversleeping is a sin, a disease, a worldwide disaster. It's why we are all creeping towards the abyss. The revolting fact of oversleeping is a nation...
Giles, I'm sorry, I've got to stop you there, but you've been challenged.
I don't know that my nerves could take it.
You've come off your rostrum. Paul, what
Well, we're not all creeping towards the abyss. I'm going to a very nice restaurant after this. We're not creeping towards the abyss. Are you creeping to... Oh, never mind.
No, not all of us are creeping towards
the
abyss.
No, we're not creeping to the abyss.
No, no. So, no, that is deviation.
Some of us are straddling it.
33 seconds, Paul. What to do when you oversleep, starting now.
What to do when you oversleep is to pretend to the world that they are wrong and you are, in fact, right. Walk into work and look your manager straight in the eye and say, ha-ha, ha-ha, ha-ha.
David.
Well, the repetition of ha, I think, yeah.
Well,
it was a very funny moment.
Yeah.
All right, David, you have the subject now. What to do when you oversleep? You have 22 seconds starting now.
Blame the tube, basically. The unreliable nature of our public transport is a fantastic aid to the oversleeper because you can always claim that some disaster has befallen you on some line or other. I don't know how people...
Julian Challenge.
Repetition of some.
Oh, yes.
It comes up, right. 11 seconds, Julian. What to do when you oversleep, starting now.
When you oversleep, throw yourself on the mercy of your authorities. But whatever you do, don't skimp on personal hygiene, because it's important to deodorise, exfoliate...
So Julian was then speaking as a whistle when gained that extra point. He's now moved into the lead over Giles, Paul and David. And Paul, it's your turn to begin. The subject is blowing the whistle on someone. 60 seconds starting now.
The next door neighbour to me is a full-time football referee, and the other day I blew his whistle out in the back garden, and some pigeons that were playing football over the back suddenly realised that one of them was offside. Then they got a quail and stuffed it inside one of them, and the other one said, get hold of a duck. And they've got hold of this particular duck. That went inside a chicken. Then it went inside a turkey. Then it went inside a goslin. And then it went inside Nicholas Parsons.
Yes, sir. You're not going to let it lie, are you?
No, I'm enjoying it.
So, Julian, you challenged first.
It was repetition of hold.
You did say hold.
Did I?
Hold the duck and hold the pigeon. Fair enough. 43 seconds, Julian. It's back with you, blowing the whistle on someone starting now.
I like nothing more than having my whistle blown on a Friday night, and we play football in the open air. It's lit.
I'm sorry, the idea of Julian playing football in the open air, he's not one of the most sporty of gentlemen.
I know he is.
So, deviation, I don't think he's ever played football in the open air.
Oh, yes, I have.
He could well have done. He may not be the most sporty of people, but he has probably done this.
Yes.
You could have had him for hesitation.
No, I didn't that time.
I know you didn't. So, Julian, that was an incorrect challenge.
I won't have my sportiness discussed in this fashion.
Right, 36 seconds on blowing the whistle on someone, Julian, starting now.
I'm ever such a sporty young man. I heard many a whistle.
There was a hesitation.
There was a hesitation, yes. 32 seconds, Charles. Blowing the whistle on someone, starting now.
I was a member of Parliament until the people blew the whistle on me. 182,732 individuals got up on the same day and began whistling this terrible sound, and I knew my time was up. They didn't like me, they weren't going to love me, they wanted me out!
A repetition of me.
Me, yes.
Oh, yes.
There was
indeed.
A bit too much of me in that
the
one.
The old problem.
Yes, yes. Mm. 17 seconds. Julian, blowing the whistle on someone, starting now.
I was playing rugby the other day, and all of a sudden I heard this shrill sound, and it was the referee blowing his whistle. He summoned me to the sideline. He said, really, you ought to be playing for the county.
And David, you must have misheard.
Well, if he's a referee and you're playing, why did you get summoned to the... It would be the linesman who would summon you to the sideline.
No, the referee...
He would have talked to you on the pitch.
He stopped the game in order to have a private word with me about my rugby-playing talents.
Actually, David's got a point. The referee does it there and then, on the spot. Mm. He doesn't call you to the sideline.
No, I was... Don't both wander off to the sideline for a chat.
Well, you were there, I was.
No, I think that's a good
deviation. What position do you play in rugby?
I'm a hooker.
I feel as if the last 35 years of my professional career was leading up to that one moment.
So, David, you take the subject. You have 4 seconds. Blowing the whistle on someone, starting now.
Blowing the whistle on someone is when you realise something...
David Mitchell, speaker's whistle, went and gained an extra point. He's now moved forward. He's in third place ahead of Paul Merton. And then up the scale is Charles Brandreth, and then Julian Clary is still in the lead. David, we'd like you to begin the next round. The subject is barking. Can you tell us something about barking in this game starting now?
There's an expression that goes something...
Hesitation.
It's actually...
There was a hesitation.
Was a hesitation, yes, and it elicited pity.
I could see something very amusing and pithy was just a tut to tumble out.
At least coherent. That's...
58 seconds, Julian. Barking starting now.
I have two dogs called Valerie and Albert, and they like to go barking. Albert's got a slightly...
Giles Chums.
Albert has been repeated twice.
Yes.
So, Giles, 52 seconds, barking, starting now.
I've got the most versatile cat in London. It barks. It keeps eating cheese sandwiches too so that it can sit by the mouse hole with bated breath. Its gifts are endless. It's a chihuahua, really, in disguise as a pussy.
Paul Chalmers.
Repetition of wah.
But it is written as one word.
Is it?
No, I have to give the benefit of the doubt to Giles. Yeah. 38 seconds, barking, starting now.
The best barking dog I ever knew was Fido, a French poodle spelt P-H-Y-D-A-U-X. There was another in my household, a mongrel who thought he was called Down Boy. The noise that these animals made when they were barking was extraordinary. They did it when Paul Merton came round for tea. Then that was a moment that's very special in my life because we always laid out sandwiches for the great man to eat and enjoy.
Julian Challenge.
Oh, he's deviating now.
No.
No, 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 he's fair. No, it all happened. I am considered a great man in the Brandreth household, but then the competition isn't fierce.
So, Giles, you get a point because it was an incorrect challenge, but Paul gets a bonus point because we enjoyed what he said, and you have the subject of barking still, and 15 seconds starting now.
Barking is the one place that I've always wanted to live. I, of course, come to...
David.
Deviation. Of course it isn't.
We established earlier that I was a man of the people.
Nope. No. You said earlier that you were a man of the people. That's far from establishing it.
Can I say I feel the freedom of barking coming upon me any minute now? If the mayor is listening, I'd love to visit briefly.
David, you have a correct challenge. 11 seconds, barking, starting now.
There's an expression, I don't know who said it first. Why keep a dog and bark yourself? The answer, I suppose, is because you enjoy it or you're mad. I think that must be a wonderful release in going around the...
Paul Charles.
It was a bit harsh, but it was a bit of hesitation.
No, I don't think so.
Don't you think so?
No, no, no.
Don't you really?
I think he was slow.
What's it got to do with you?
No, again, what I do is I give the benefit of the doubt, and I always redress it sometime. And so the benefit of the doubt goes to David on this occasion. Mm. He still has barking, and he's 1 second only, and his time starts now.
Running around the streets.
So David Mitchell speaking as a whistle went gained that extra point, and he has moved forward. And he's only 2 points behind Giles, and he's 2 points behind Julian, and they're all a few points ahead of Paul. Julian, it's with you again to begin. The subject now is a man in uniform. Will you tell us something? I don't know why you're laughing. A man in uniform. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
I love doing gigs in Portsmouth because the streets are full of seamen and men in uniform. And they march along in a very formal manner, their medals chinking on their breasts. And occasionally they doff their cap to you. And if you smile politely, you may entice them into a public house for some refreshment and a sandwich. Men in uniform are always very polite and very, very busy.
And there we go. David...
Oh, repetition of very.
Right. 32 seconds, David. You have the subject of a man in uniform starting now.
A man in uniform is a way of making people respect an office despite whatever idiocy is contained within the brain of the uniformed person. This is a... Oh.
Giles, your challenge.
There was a little hesitation.
There was a hesitation. Giles, you have a man in uniform. You have 21 seconds starting now.
I like a man in uniform. I spent a lot of time in the lift at Harrods as a consequence. Because travelling up, we see an elderly gentleman who clearly was in the armed forces during the late hostilities wearing with pride his uniform. And I think as he polishes his medals and opens the door...
Paul Challenge.
Well, it was a slight hesitation.
There was a definite hesitation.
Oh, there was, there was.
You could have had him for deviation, too.
Yes.
Whereas a man wouldn't wear his uniform from the army in Harrods. He'd have the Harrods uniform on.
Yeah, yeah.
Harrods didn't fight in the war, you know, Joe. They were... I think they remained neutral.
Right. Paul, you have a correct challenge, and you have 4 seconds on a man in uniform starting now.
The Salvation Army stand outside the cinema and they're splendid.
So Paul Merton speaking as a whistle when gained the extra point. It's a very even contest. Only 1 point separates all of them. David, Paul, Giles, Julian in that sequence going upwards. Paul, we're back with you to begin. I'm a bit nervous of this one, knowing the way you always have a go at me. In the nicest possible way.
Oh, yes, of course, yeah.
Yes.
Let's forget about the injunction.
It's called Our Chairman's Darkest Secret. You have 60 seconds, starting now.
Our chairman's darkest secret is that he's mentioned in the Bible as one of the horsemen of the apocalypse.
Charles.
A hesitation on that wonderful word, apocalypse.
Yeah.
And also the deviation, that the word is apocalypse, I think, not apocalypse.
I had a very cheap Bible. Very well printed. All right, the A's
Charles,
were missing.
Our chairman's darkest secret, 53 seconds starting now.
He has webbed feet. He is a merman. That is the extraordinary thing about Nicholas Parsons.
Julian, you challenge.
Well, you haven't got webbed feet. How do you do this?
It's
deviation.
I'll get up and show them all if you want to.
That's a very uncertain noise, isn't it? Frightened of what you might be wishing for.
I can assure you, I couldn't walk as well as I did. I couldn't have played all the games I've done. Yeah.
You're a keen sportsman, just like Julian, very keen sportsman.
Yes, I think I'm a little bit better than Julian, actually.
Right, arm wrestling now.
Oh, I wouldn't do that. I can see how strong you are in the arms. No, I played them. Our chairman's darkest secret, Julian, you have 48 seconds starting now.
Nicholas has got several dark secrets, first one being the many evenings he spent on the town with Amy Winehouse, knocking back drinks, and the other very dark...
Slight hesitation.
Paul, there was a slight hesitation. Mm-hmm. So we've got the subject back again, Paul. Our chairman's darkest secret, 37 seconds starting now.
Janice Wilkins is a name that you wouldn't normally associate with our esteemed man in the middle. But if you go to a certain address in Walthamstow on a Friday night, you will see a shadowy figure emerge from the shadows. And that particular person will be none other than the gentleman you see in front of you now. He doesn't always wear these rather garish jackets, which were one time popular around about 1986. He's cloaked in mystery and intrigue as he sniffs the air in London's East End, waiting for his next victim. Yes, he's dressed as a woman, but he's also a vampire.
And you applaud him.
It has a smack of truth.
And all that fantasy, right. Paul, you were speaking as a whistle. When you gain an extra point, you're now equal with Julian in second place. Giles is 1 point ahead, and Dave is a couple of points behind. And, David, we're back with you to begin, and the subject is traffic calming. 60 seconds starting now.
Traffic calming is something that councils attempt in order to make rush hours less bad, but it never works. There's nothing calm about traffic. If you've ever got a cab during a busy time of day, the driver, despite the fact that every day he sees traffic...
Julian, challenge.
Repetition of day.
Day earlier on, yes. 45 seconds. Julian, traffic calming, starting now.
When I used to work as a traffic policeman, I would stand in the middle of the road saying, calm down, everybody, where's the rush? Have one of these drinks and that'll...
Jars?
Hesitation.
Yes, there was.
Stumbled and fumbled.
And 35 seconds, traffic calming starting now.
The worst of these traffic calming measures is the so-called sleeping policeman. As you bump and hump over this creature, you feel increasingly sick. Vomit, in fact, is the result of traffic calming all over the land. There are cars actually awash with sputum and excretion because of traffic calming. It makes the...
Paul, challenge.
Do you think that statement can go unchallenged?
No, I don't think...
It only makes a trip to the shops worth it, really, does it?
I don't think it can go unchallenged. A new challenge, and I agree with you.
Yes, deviation,
right.
Absolutely.
17 seconds, Paul. Traffic calming starting now.
They realise now the science of traffic calming is you mustn't put up so many signs to distract the motorist. The most important aspect is to make sure that the driver and the pedestrian can make eye contact. As human beings, we become aware of where the other person is.
Julian's challenge.
Oh, well, it was just... The words rhymed.
The words rhymed.
It's a new rule that's just come in.
Is it?
Can't have rhyming words, unfortunately.
Rhyming words, right. And I can't even give you a bonus point for what you said, but it's lovely. So, Paul, you have an incorrect challenge, you still have the subject, and you have 1 second only. Traffic calming starting now.
Bankers!
Right, there we are. So Paul Merton was then speaking as a whistle went. Gained that extra point. He's now taken the lead. One ahead of Giles Brandreth. and he's one ahead of Julian Clary, and he's two or three ahead of David Mitchell. It's very close. And it's the value they all give. It's nothing to do with the points, really. And we're moving into the final round. Giles, a nice topical one here for London. Nelson's Column. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
Nelson's Column is the mighty Corinthian column that stands in the centre of Trafalgar Square, built in 1840 in honour of Horatio Nelson, who is 18 foot tall up there, whereas as a man he was about 5 or so of the same amount of depth.
He was the same amount of depth. This is deviation. Dreadful. National hero, same amount of depth. No. Outrageous.
I was describing him in a hole.
You're in a hole. Down. You're in the hole.
I was looking down. Yes, all
no,
right.
No, I don't think you can get out of this one, John.
I didn't
no,
want
no,
to repeat no. foot, you see. That was what I was trying to avoid.
You did avoid that. I did then avoid you should have said height.
Yeah, indeed. Or I should have said used. Metre one time and feet the next. It's wise after the event. It's no use at all, is it?
Yeah, it's quite handy from where I'm sitting.
So, Paul, you have Nelson's Column. You have 41 seconds starting now.
Nelson's Column stands in the middle of Trafalgar Square. He is above it all. Perhaps the noise of traffic doesn't reach to the very top of Nelson's Column. I don't know. I remember seeing John Noakes and Blue Peter climbing up Nelson's Column when they didn't have health and safety or indeed insurance. I'm scared of heights. I would hate to be right there where he was standing on Nelson's Column. I understand that if you look down to the ground that's beneath you, it is extraordinarily difficult to keep your head on your shoulders. I have vertigo. This...
And David Challenge.
What do you mean it's difficult when you look down to keep your head on your shoulders?
Yes!
Deviation from two...
No. Like that.
I think your head won't fall off.
That's the fear!
Well, it's an unfounded fear.
I said I had vertigo. That's part of the fear. Your head's going to fall off your shoulder.
No, you said it afterwards.
I don't go to a bowling
alley. You said... You said about your head falling off before you mentioned vertigo.
Yeah.
And anyway, it is a fear. It is not that it would actually happen. And I think that's what David's challenging.
Oh, so I'm all right then? My head won't fall off my shoulders?
No.
I feel cured.
You said your head would fall off your shoulders. It wouldn't.
No.
And that is deviation. And David's right. He has a correct challenge. He has 6 seconds on Nelson's Column starting now.
When I look at Nelson's Column, I sometimes wonder whether the person that designed it hated Nelson because you can't really see him properly.
So let me give you the final score then. David Mitchell did extremely well, but he's in fourth place. Julian Clary was in second, then it was Giles Brandreth, and a few points ahead of all of them was Paul Merton. So we say this week, Paul Merton, you are our winner. So, it only remains for you to say thank you to these four fine players of the game, Paul Merton, Giles Brandreth, Julian Clary and David Mitchell. I thank Sarah Sharp, who's helped me with the score, blown her whistle so delicately. And we also thank our producer, Claire Jones. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we're also indebted to this lovely audience here in the radio theatre, who've cheered us on our way magnificently, made us feel cheerful. I hope they've enjoyed themselves. We have. And so from the audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and the team up here, goodbye. And tune in the next time we play Just a Minute.